Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You should have seen the fucking meat videos he was sending me. Like, he was doing the thing where he was like, good morning, and then like just flipping his dick, and the way it thudded against his sternum. I was like, well, of course I'm gonna drive from North Hollywood to Beverly Hills to fucking swallow your dick.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week we've got Big Dipper on the podcast, the comedian, performer, rapper, and co-host of Sloppy Seconds Podcast with gay ass podcast friend Meatball, who might be making an appearance on this podcast soon herself. This week, we dive deep, as you heard in that teaser, into queer representation in modern lit. No, I'm kidding. We talk about dicks. Lots of talk about dicks. It's a classic app, I have to say, with just an extra sprinkle of horn. And you know I love a good horn app. Fun fact of the day is my episode of Senior Superlatives, hosted by Greta Teitelman, came out last week. If you're here from that pod, I love you so much and welcome here. I'm about to go see Greta perform with Dame Matt Rogers here in Los Angeles, and you know I'm going to be posting a full brutal review. I want to get straight into this episode. The last thing I'll say is I'm about to officially book the next LA date for our Gay Ass Live show. It is going to be at a different venue that is bigger, brassier, bolder, and I cannot wait to tell you the official date so you can start to buy ticks and see what surprises we have up our sleeves. If you enjoy the podcast, follow along at Gay Ass Podcast and leave a 5-star review. We just hit the 1-year anniversary of the 1-star review, which apparently materially damaged a straight woman's relationship. It's an honor, truly. I love you so much and enjoy this horned up app. Big fucking Dipper. Yeah, she makes the club go up. She's making a documentary about fucking. Yes, she is the host with Meatball on Sloppy Seconds, and she is here. Big Dipper, thanks for coming on this fucking goddamn podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Big fan. Happy to be here.
The fandom goes versatilely. I have to say, when I was on Sloppy Seconds podcast, it was a big day for me and my family. And then when the video clips came out, I felt like I was joining a hall of fame. The clips are too good.
It's sort of a wild thing. So we, you know, pulling back the curtain, I do run the network. So I am like involved in a lot of the goings on. And it was interesting when we developed the plan, they were like, yeah, and then we're going to start putting out clips of the show. But it's a week after the show premieres and it's an onslaught of clips. It's not like one fun moment. It's constant.
You're not
every
messing
day
around. The onslaught,
for a solid week.
It's how many videos per, I'm going to say, a baker's dozen.
It's 14. We do two a day. Wait, for a solid week after
I was
the
joking. Oh my god.
No. That 100%.
Wow. That, so wait, I'm assuming you have a...
There's a team, baby.
Okay, thank you.
There's a squadron. There are queers in every corner of this great country in each of the 4 time zones that our United States of America spans. We have mom team members out there working their cute little butts off.
From coast to coast, from tip to tap, to hole to hot, to boop to bap.
It was that weird thing during the pandemic when we like hired new people, like we didn't care where you lived. And then everyone was like, yeah, I can do that. It's 5 a.m. for me. And I was like, oh, what? Do you not live in LA?
I did do a podcast like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and their producer was from Australia and it was fully like 3:30 in the morning for them. I was like, at what cost?
One of the dolls who runs our social media, some of the accounts, she's fully in Melbourne, Australia.
Listen, when you...
But when it's right, it's right.
I was going to say, when you book sloppy seconds, you're going to make it a first priority. It was the time of my life being on that fucking show. And I watch every clip with... And speaking of clips, I need to address an elephant in the room. There are a couple guests who have done this podcast, and I try to put out clips too. And I don't have the mom team yet. Or just a team, I'll say. what I do have is... me. And so I sometimes do not find the energy to put out a clip. And a couple of guests have...
They get a little sassy.
They've sassed me. And I have a friend who... I'm going to call him out because he deserves it. Henry Russell Bergstein was on this podcast. He is a famous casting directress. He's cast so many movies and plays and everything. And he gives me shit. And I've seen him probably 25 times. And every single time he'll bring up a clip that I have done recently and how he never got them. Big Dipper, what do you say when people sass you about your own fucking podcast?
Well, I want to say the sheer audacity to have three names
as
a casting director when it's the bane of everyone's existence to meet an actor with three names. And they're always like, oh, the union, you know, I needed to do it for the union. I had to give my, now I can't come up with a three name.
Well,
actor.
Cut to me when I like get my first Emmy and they're like, Eric D. Williams. And everyone's
exactly.
I mean,
well, I would say take it as a compliment. He had so much fun on the pod that he just wants to share it with his friends.
Yeah, thank you for making it about me in a good way.
The other thing that I have learned being a network executive is that a lot of this content, if you're not doing the 24 hours news recap, like it's evergreen. People, I now watch Below Deck because my TikTok algorithm has put a series of 3-minute clips of that show in front
really?
Of me constantly.
Are you watching all seen the franchisees? Are you just watching once? Because it's like Below Deck Sailing, Below Deck Mediterranean. Are you watching all of them?
I've never watched it. Oh, I just literally watch the clips that get put in front of me. And they're from like years ago. I'm just scrolling on TikTok. So all of your podcasts are evergreen. That's the real beautifully said.
And I think to get back at Henry Russell Bergstein, the three name queen, I'm going to put three up the most queen. Unflattering clip of him from his episode. And then I'll say, careful what you wish for, Gerlina.
Yes, like something where he's like fumbling or like can't remember.
I'll do a cut of all of him just like saying and coughing.
Yes. Or just put up this clip of us dragging him and be like, here's your clip, bitch.
Remember when Henry Russell Bergstein did That's a Gay Ass Podcast? Here's your clip. Fucking three name. Yeah. And then there's a network executive dragging him. God. All right. Well, I got what I needed from that.
This is totally how I was hoping that this conversation would go.
Dragging another person.
Drag a friend of yours that I've never met. I'm a bandwagon bitch. I will jump on. If you say we hate this gorilla, I'm like, I'm there.
I thought you were a backdoor bitch.
A little of both. Both of them are BB. Honey.
Okay, so I have a lot of things that I want to do and say and be. And
don't we all?
Only because I'm this excited, I'm going to move this segment to what I should be doing later. I'm going to do it now because I've taken a sloppy seconds segment and I've applied it to Big Dipper. It is the segment you have called Slant My Name.
Oh my God!
And I have done it for you, Big Dipper.
Meatball's going to be jealous.
Oh, well, Meatball may or may not be coming on this podcast and may or may not have her own slanting. So let's get into Slant My Name. I'm going to say some slants of your name for the listeners who forget, and I'm going to then ask you a question. So Big Dipper, let's get into it. First, slanting, Big Flipper. Big Dipper, what's your favorite 90s movie?
Oh, I really like Empire Records. Did that come out in the 90s?
I thought that was a TV show that stole from...
No, Empire Records was a film in, I believe, the 90s. It could have been someone recently... I was talking on a recent episode of Sloppy Seconds. We were talking about the original How I Met Your Mother. And we were referring to it as a 90s sitcom. Because our friend Tien Tran, who's on How I Met Your Father...
Who has done this
show.
Very podcast.
Okay, amazing. We love Tien. And we were talking. We were like, oh yeah, to reboot a show from the 90s. And someone commented and she was like, baby girl, that show premiered in 2005. So your sense of the 90s. So I believe it was the 90s. I will say Empire Records. It stars Liv Tyler, Renee Zellweger, Ethan Embry. No, He's on the gay
Ethan
show.
Embry, yeah, he's in it.
Yes. Okay. It's kind of like an all-star, like, 90s alt-rock.
Do you know what? Cast. I think I've actually seen this movie, and it's all coming back. Oh, yeah, because the cover is giving, like, blue, swirly background. Liv is center with a cut-off, gorgeous blue shirt with a Cher Horowitz skirt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Renee is giving body Audie.
Renee sings at the end, a little teaser to her future Chicago and Judy roles.
Thank God for that. God, you know, Judy.
I liked this movie because my older sister liked this movie,
and every gay boy who has an older sister just wanted to be and like the same things that she did.
Isn't that the truth?
Moving on to our next slam, Big Yom Kippur. Big Dipper, what's your favorite Jewish holiday?
I want to say it's now I can't remember it. Shavuot? No, that's not what it's called. What's the one called where you make the structure in your backyard and Sukkot. You shake the lulav. Sukkot.
I love Shavuot. That you remember lulav and etrog and you can't remember yeah. Sukkot.
Sukkot.
I will say we love a sukkah in the backyard. When I have a house one day, I want to like build a I'll have my husband build a gorgeous tree laden sukkah, and then we're gonna have a gorgeous meal beneath it.
Now I'm googling about Judaism.
Did you google Shavuot?
Yeah, I guess it means weeks. So it's like, how many weeks?
How many weeks do I give?
Oh my God. This is my Judaic ignorance. But yeah, I love a sukkah in the backyard, and I want to be a sucker in the backyard.
You know you want to be suckered under a sukkah.
Yeah, that's right. Put a little glory hole in the sukkah.
The whole thing is a glory hole. Next question is Big Road Tripper. Big Dipper, have you ever fucked at a rest stop?
No, but I have cruised at a rest stop, and it just, every time I've been at a rest stop, it's been like too daytime, too family, too...
So you've unsuccessfully fucked at a rest stop.
Yes.
Big Gripper, do you prefer tight or sloppy holes?
This is tricky. I guess I want to say tight.
And I respect that.
I like the idea of a sloppy hole, but when you're fucking one, you're sort of like... And?
... And? Okay, next one. Big Gaza Stripper. How do you feel about Israel? I'm kidding. Don't answer that. Okay. The next one is Big New York Stripper. If a chef could make you any meal right now, what would they make you?
Ooh. I feel like I'm in a pasta mood.
Mm.
And I like tortellini.
Mm.
Or gnocchi. I like because they're so chewy. I feel like I would be into that. I'm also such a sucker for Parmesan cheese.
Do you want
like,
a red sauce or a creamy sauce?
Red.
Thank you. That is correct. Next question Thank is you. Big relationshipper. Do you prefer Oof. Being single or do you want a relation?
I don't know that I prefer being single, but I am so good at being single. I've been single the majority of my life. Every sort of relationship I get into is I've had like one or two that lasted a little bit. But
what's the longest your relationship has lasted?
3 years and some change.
That's a
long
time.
We lived together. Oh, yeah.
Did you have a pet together?
We did. We took in a stray cat who then bit me, and I had like my whole hand swelled up.
So
and
I'm assuming your ex.
Now I know what cat scratch fever means. But they still have the cat. He has a new boyfriend who has my same government name.
You're kidding.
Similar red beard.
Listen, when you
when you upgrade, you upgrade. It's fine.
What? Okay. That is not what I was gonna say. What I was gonna say is when you know what you're into because my fucking husband sees a single Jewish man and he's like squirting. It's like I was like, okay, you're fetishizing decades, which I'd rather you fetishize than anti-Semitize.
Decades.
This actually is a logical next question. Big Guilt Tripper, are you the jealous type in relationships?
This is tricky because I don't have a lot of experience being jealous. My big thing is like, I like to be included.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to know the information. I like to be on the inside track. I feel a lot of envy in my professional life. Like I'm blinded to my own successes and to my own like like cool opportunities, I'm just like, ugh, that's work. And then I see like one thing that someone else is doing outside of the realm of what I'm doing, and I'm like, if only I could do that, you know? So
tale as old as time, though.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like I have so much more experience with work stuff than I do with relationship stuff. So I don't know, but I am definitely like, I want to sit in the corner and watch you have sex with someone else. That's like my kind of like, I'm into that.
You just, yeah, you say do your thing, but include May.
Exactly. Literally, okay. Tell me all the details.
Controversial question. Are you the type of like gay businessman version that you are married to your work and not a human?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
You know, change gonna come. Like something's gonna break.
Oh my God, this is your romantic comedy movie. The one guy that was able to get his attention away from the empire. Speaking of God.
The problem is, as like an independent artist, you don't work for so long. Like there are zero opportunities. You're begging for someone to pay attention to what you're doing. You're doing the play that is 6 weeks rehearsal and you perform for 20 people and your stipend is $75 at the end of it. Like you're doing all of that stuff. So when you spend 10 years doing that and then all of a sudden people are like, hey, you should produce this thing and you should run this and I want you for this gig. But I'm like, I'm saying yes to all of it. I'm going to work my ass off so that I can build for the future. So right now when people are like, hey, let's date, let's have fun, let's do whatever, I'm like, I'm busy, I'm doing something over here.
Well, right, because do you think you have scarcity mindset?
Yes, 100%.
I do too, but I'm working so actively against it. But I think that,
but if you were to stop doing stuff, would you still have everything you have in 4 months?
What do you mean though, having what?
Like I would not have an apartment.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Everything would fall apart.
Oh, no, that's true.
So how can you not have a scarcity?
That's true. The scarcity is unfortunately the survival tactic too. But then like there's an emotional scarcity mindset that we need to our actual actions. We have a scarcity mindset, but our mindset.
Did you do therapy just before this?
Every goddamn week. Are you kidding me? Right now, I'm in therapy with my therapist, and then Matt and I are in couples therapy. And there are some days that I have it both on Tuesdays.
Can you do anything else on that day?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I can cry.
You're like, just jerk off and cry. Those three things.
At the same time. No, I actually, I don't know. My therapist tells me I'm a really good multitasker, and I agree. I'm, like, able to really, like, dive into... Although, I will say, at the end of my therapy sessions, I will be looking at the clock for the final 6 minutes to think of what I'm doing next. Not proud of that, but our sessions are an hour long.
That's insane.
But I love her so much.
I had to stop going to therapy because I was, like, asking the guy for help.
And he was like...
And he was...
That's not how this works.
He literally was like, your life sounds really cool. he was like, you fuck whoever you want.
He was a fan.
You have no kids to take care of. You literally, like, you don't have to spend your money on anyone but yourself. You're successful in your career. You do whatever you want. It sounds like you got it made. And I was like, sir, I have internal freakouts every single day about my future, about my balance, about, you know, and he's like, honestly, he literally was like, I have some clients who can't even get out of bed every day. So like, you're doing great. And I was
this
like,
is the opposite of compare despair. He's like, he's comparing you to his fucked up patients. He's like, oh, honey, you should see the basket case as I walk in.
No, and he was straight. So every time I was like really trying to tell him graphic sex stories,
no which wonder.
Like, ultimately, you don't need to do that in therapy.
You're giving more information than he needed to hear. You're like, so right. After I took my cock out, he's writing.
He's like, you're good. Yeah, I think you're good. I think you're good with your
life. You know what? That's why he said you're okay. Because
he's like, cool.
Yeah,
cool,
he
cool.
Wanted to stop hearing about your disgusting fuck stories. That's why he said you were fine. I do sometimes find that I want to tell more information that is necessary, but also my therapist is a straight woman who I oftentimes will take out details that I'm worried that will scandalize her.
Internalized homophobia.
Correct. I have been diagnosed. But I've got the freakouts too. That's why it's not to make it about the Jew thing, but it's also... as creative people, also the shtetls were so chaotic back in our ancestors' history. What are we gonna do?
I do feel more Jewish talking to you than I do on my day.
Can you do a Jewish accent?
No.
Okay. So Then let me get into the official podcast question, which is Big Dipper. Whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
I think, so sometimes I think about like the old men at the rec center in the changing room when I would play racquetball with my dad.
Hard, yes.
But I think that's more about like why I like to fuck 70-year-old men.
And that would answer that. But you're saying that's not why you're a homosexual.
I don't know. It's tricky. I think it's a combination of those things. Also, did you go to like a big high school?
No.
I went to a high school where there was like a swimming pool. Like there were a couple swimming pools. And so we would do, so we had like a swim team.
Were you on the swim team?
No. I did theater in high school. Good. But I took early bird gym class for like my schedule or whatever. So I would actually go to school at like 6:45 in the morning and do gym class for an hour just to like get it out of the way. And then I was like done with my gym class by like 11, or done with my school day by like 11 a.m.
Stop.
Yeah, it was great. I did that like my junior and senior year. It just made everything easier. But I remember when we were doing our like swimming unit, I would go into the locker room after swim class and one of the teachers would just be naked showering. And he would like bike to school and then use the shower.
Show me
or
on
like
the
sometimes
doll.
He would like
show me on the doll where did
And I always remembered because we would shower off the chlorine, but we would all shower like in our suits to get the chlorine off of us. And then we'd like wrap the towel and do the, cause it wasn't, we weren't on a sports team. It was like in gym class. Right. So there wasn't even like the camaraderie of a sports team where you sort of eventually get over it.
Meanwhile, this fucking biker bodied bitch was fully nude.
Yeah. And I remember like thinking that was weird, but also being like, that's a sneak peek of some dick.
That's what's the quote? That's interesting. That's suspicious.
But I don't know that I don't know.
But you were also a theater faggot who, dare I say, that could be a reason that you became gay. You grew up in what, Evanston, Illinois? What got you into doing theater? Do you remember like one of the like reasons why you're like, I want to be up there?
Yes, my sister, yet again, the trailblazer. No, I started doing community theater, like children's theater, when I was like 8 years old. And it was very segregated. So it was like dancers, singers, actors.
Oh, no.
And they would always separate the plays like that. So like if you were an actor, you would do the acting scene. And then if it was a musical, the actors would like leave the stage and the singers would come on and sing the
You're
song.
You're kidding.
It was like they didn't understand what to do, like the volunteer
so
theater
Seymour
directors.
Would be
they were
like,
this is what we're doing.
Oh my gosh, I'm a nerd and there's a big plan. And then someone else would come out and be like,
suddenly.
Or he would like act. He wouldn't lip sync, but he would like act out the scene while the music was happening.
Dipper, this sounds atrocious.
I was cast as a dancer a lot because I had like a little bit of rhythm as a young child. And then eventually they did The Wizard of Oz and they were like, we're going to do it a little more traditional. So I got cast as the lion when I was 8 years old. And I felt so much pressure. So much pressure. I had basically a panic attack.
What were you worried about?
Because
just being bad?
I was like, there's so much pressure. If I don't want to do the show, then they can't do the show. And like, you know, I have to sing, I have to dance, I have to remember my lines. Like it was a lot.
My chest is tightening because I know this feeling.
And I remember my mom just said to me, she was like, well, let's leave. Like, you don't have to do this. I was like in my costume at the dress rehearsal, like sobbing. And she was like, let's leave. We're done. And I was like, no, I can't do that to the group. And so I like went on and did it. And that I think is a really formative because then I got like praise. I was like, good. And everyone was like, oh, you came back. Like I basically created this dramatic moment for myself.
You did Anna Kendrick in the movie Camp. She's fucked. I'm ready. And the goddamn show must go on.
Yes. And so I could have just gone with my mother and been like, I'm done, and walked out, and then had like a peaceful, stress-free life. This is my sliding doors moment.
Yeah.
100%.
It's very, the poem.
Two roads diverged in a yellow
Thank you. I was waiting for you to be
and
smart.
And I took the one less travel by.
Thank you.
Robert Frost.
I feel like I just watched you say all the bullet points of pi. I felt like you just went for an hour. 3.1415. That's what I feel like you just did with that poem. Wow, you really... So now you have a life full of misery and pressure and creativity. Based
like
on...
creative misery. I'm I got to do it. But as far as the gay thing, I don't know, man. I definitely remember trying to come out to my mom when I was in middle school.
Really?
And then I like rescinded it.
What do you mean? You said I'm gay, but never mind.
I said everyone at school calls me gay. But I know I'm not gay, and that's what's so upsetting to me.
I love the dramatic
beat. That is like what I did. Because it was like the moment. It was my two roads. I was like, I could either come out now at 12 and say everyone at school calls me gay, and I am gay, and I'm so scared. Or I did what I did, where I was like, and I know I'm not gay, and I hate those motherfuckers for calling me gay.
Listen, I think the majority of... Whenever I hear someone's like, yeah, when it came out at 13, I was like, how, bitch?
I know, I want to punch them in the throat.
Seriously? Well, I try to agree to be a good host, but I actually...
You're like, I hate that.
I don't do that. I had the same thing. I said people would make fun of me, and then my mom would try to be an ally when she... Now, as an adult, she's realized it wasn't maybe the right thing to say, where she was like, just because people are saying you're gay doesn't mean that you are, which in my head was like, okay, cool, then I'm not, and I shouldn't be, and I won't.
Yes,
and then
course.
I was taking my showers, and the image of men kept coming into my head. I would be like, nope, but I'm not gay. Remember, I'm not gay. And then just the voices. And then, of course, I would not go to the pool with my family over the summer so I could watch porn on the computer. But my porn I was watching was just men jacking off, because I told myself I was just learning about how masturbation works. I didn't like watching the men. I was learning techniques. I was a student of masturbology.
The hurdles that we jump through.
Literally. And then by 18, I was like, all right, fuck it, I'm gay. Jesus Christ, enough's enough.
Okay, do you remember... So my family had a Gateway computer.
Oh, yeah.
Gateway made the, like, cow print. Yes. Was their, like, their vibe. And they had something on the new computer. I remember I went with my dad to buy it, and it was called like the Time Machine or like whatever. It essentially reverted the computer back to how it was. So in case you fucked something up, you could be like, bring my computer back to 2 o'clock this afternoon. All the new files will go away. Bitch, I exhausted that function like nobody's business. I was like, Time Machine, like nightly Time Machine in high school.
The computer was panting.
And I was looking at pictures that would load like slowly, these huge JPEG files. I remember I first started looking, and I think in a very toxic way, I would look at collegehumor.com. Back before it was more of a comedy website, it was like a frat boys hazing each other website.
Oh, you like
so
that.
So it was like farting in someone's face and you saw an ass cheek. Or like making someone piss their pants and you saw the outline of their dick and their wet shorts. So I would like look at that website, and then it led me to some other like fucking disgusting gay pervert, you know, like archives of just wild photos. And I never, until I went to college, I never watched porno videos. I only looked at photos.
But it's not because you're really old, it's just because you're weird.
I think it's the age thing. No, I you know what it was, is that I would never have the audacity to plug in headphones and like listen to the porn. I would be like, I have to keep all my wits about me as I'm like looking at the computer screen late at night.
Listen, again, the hurdles we jumped through. At one point we had a very old computer, so my parents got a new one, and so they kept the really old one. And so my twin brother and I would sit in this back room, and we would like, because we were at the age like, don't look at my fucking screen, we would point our computer screens away from each other. And then while he was doing probably his homework or playing like, you know, pool on the computer,
he's looking at titties
or titties. I was chatting with a guy that went to my school with me, who I thought was maybe going to eventually either get naked with me or something, because we would openly talk about, again, masturbating. Turns out he was just a straight guy,
a scholar. He was at the masturbatory.
We were both in University of
Masturbology.
Masturbology. I was getting my master's.
And not him like really talking to you about technique.
I mean, well, it was also like, so did you do it today or yesterday? No, but I was, you know, like the conversations were like at first like very innocent about it, but then I of course try to be like, yeah, I actually might use my shampoo to as lube, like whatever it was. I tried to maybe insert a detail, and I was like, oh my god, I was like, oh my god, this means that he is gonna get with me. And then of course it never happened, and now he's fully married to a woman, and I think confirmed straight.
Right, but listens to this podcast, you know, just for the knowledge.
I'm gonna say his full name. I'm kidding.
Is it three? It's three name.
It's a three namer. It's Sean Patrick
Mendez.
Isn't there an actor from American Pie that was like so hot that was like Sean? It was a three namer.
Yeah, Sean William Scott.
Oh yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
God, Sean William Scott. Jennifer Coolidge was his mother, of course.
Oh, yeah. She was
Stifler's mom. Listen, it all comes back.
Did those movies make people gay?
Yeah, because Jason Biggs fucks fucking a pie. Yeah, that and made me gay.
I identify as a pie.
My pronouns are P-I.
3.14.
As you say pie wrong.
I know.
3.4. Try it again.
3.14159.
Yeah, no, American Pie very much radicalized. That's the whole, I do like, as horrible as this world is right now with what's going on to our people, I do oftentimes like the comparisons of like people saying that drag queens are sexualizing children when I'm watching Jason Biggs go balls deep into a cherry pie.
Yeah, at 12.
At fully 12 years old in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you suck Jason Biggs today?
Maybe when he got older.
Oh, he's not old enough for you yet?
No.
Oh, like, I forgot he has to be 70.
The way he looks, I need him to be older. And that's of no that's no positive or negative. It's just his vibe to me. If he was like 50 or 60, I'd be like, okay.
How old was the last person you hooked up with? Ballpark.
Oh, last person. I was thinking about this one guy who came over, but then I was like, oh, there was a guy yesterday. Mm. The guy yesterday was like 30 something.
That's a child.
They don't have to be old.
What did he look like yesterday? How was it? How'd it go?
I can show you.
Show me.
You just can't turn it into a clip.
I'm going to turn it to a clip and then blur it out.
No.
And then the
no.
Patreon subscribers have to pay $500 a month.
To just see.
I'm going to embezzle money from the listeners.
This is the guy from yesterday.
Oh, yeah. God. Jeez. Wait, is his dick blurred out?
It is, because these are photos on Instagram. And he, like, blurs his dick out on Instagram.
And he didn't murder you and your family? Oh, my God. He is very hot.
Yeah.
How was the hookup?
And he's in a throuple. Those are his husbands.
Okay. Wait, did you say his husbands?
I think so. I don't know.
Come on, Mormonism. Okay, wait. They're both very bearded and very handsome.
Yeah.
See, he's very hot to me. His husbands are...
hotter.
I was gonna say more my type.
Yeah, but they are hotter. But you should have seen the fucking meat videos he was sending me. Like, he was doing the thing where he was like, good morning, and then like just flipping his dick, and the way it thudded against his sternum, I was like, well, of course I'm gonna drive from North Hollywood to Beverly Hills to fucking swallow your dick. And then after he came in my mouth, he looked at me and he was like, that was really good. You like don't have a gag reflex. I was like, I do have a gag reflex. Did you hear me like choking? And he was like, yeah, but it was hot. I was like, it was hot. And then he said, I'm moving to Chicago in 2 weeks.
I'm moving to Chicago. And he said, that's so funny because I'm from there and I just decided to move back home.
Did I or did I not?
You know, what's funny is my parents have a basement.
There's a sukkah out back.
And we'll fuck in the glory hole in the sukkah. Well, then, since we're on the topic of fucking, can you please tell me about... you have a documentary that you're working on. about fucking, and you tweeted recently that you were filming at a sex party. And there was an invitation for people to go. How was it on set? Did you get all the shots? Did you get all the coverage?
Yeah, it was really interesting. So this is the beginning of like a long-term project where we're exploring sort of like the landscape of gay sex in the 2020s. Really with like, obviously there are like major medical advancements with PrEP, as well as a lot more people understanding the concept of U equals U, mm-hmm. as far as people who have undetectable HIV status. And I really feel like there's been a rise of the cum dump. When I was younger, yeah, of course, I heard about Treasure Island Media and I knew about cum dumps and I knew that like people, you know, the classic and iconic award-winning film Dawson's 50 Load Weekend, which in certain circles everyone knows about, and other circles people are like, wait, the show with Katie Holmes? And you're like, different.
It's Katie Holes.
Different. Yeah, exactly. But I feel like everywhere I turn, there's a cum dump, and it's like, are you even having sex unless you have five loads of different people in your ass when you, you know, finish? And so that's the sort of exploration. But one big thing that I wanted is I didn't want to make a documentary that was about really pushing the boundaries of like sexual expression and not showing actual sex. I hate when people are like, you know, and my fetish is like as many strangers as possible to load me up in the ass. And it cuts to B-roll of like two hands like frolicking in the shadows. And you're like, no, show me the dick in the butt. And so
at least show me like 14 sets of legs. And then the camera pans up to what it pans up to.
A gremlin hanging out.
A gremlin bouncing on the lower back of someone on all fours. Are you envisioning this wherever it is, wherever we get to watch it, we get to see cock going into hole?
Yes. Yeah. Great. I want it to be like an actual conversation. Like, I don't want to pull any punches in the conversation, and I don't want to pull any punches when we're showing the footage. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it'll have to premiere on its own website or behind a paywall or something, because like, you know, they don't want to put that on a streaming service. Like, I don't know. But we started with a weekend of shooting. We threw a sex party. We invited people from the internet, not professionals, just whoever wants to come and fuck. There will be a camera crew there. Some people got really spooked out. And then other people showed up and they were like, great, no face, and just walked into the room. Like, I told people, you can wear a hood, you can wear like a COVID mask, you can bring your own, like, what do they call it? Baklava?
Baklava? Sounds delicious.
Balaclava? You know, like a head wrap.
Yeah.
I was like, you can obscure your face anywhere you went. The first guy who showed up walked in and sort of casually over his shoulder to the camera crew said, no face, and just walked in and started fucking the guy who was on the bed. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, bro, we're filming your face. Like, I'm gonna blur your face out, but like, you're not doing anything to obstruct your face. So you walked into a room full of cameras.
I hope he has the most easily recognizable tattoo. No face. Says his name on his back. Okay.
And then he was texting his wife during the break. Like, he tapped out for a little bit and he was off to the side and I was like checking in with him and he was like, oh yeah, sorry, my wife is texting me about her nail appointment for tomorrow. I have to send the nail tech money, so I need a minute. And I was like,
I'm speechless.
Like, are modern relationships that modern and that open that he's at a cum dump
on camera?
Yeah. And then he's like going home to his wife? Or are there people who are literally doing that kind of gay fuckery and going home to live a straight life and hoping no one finds out?
Have you ever seen
Tangerine?
Oh, I have seen Tangerine.
Like, when he goes home to his family.
Well, that's the thing, is it's crazy to me that A, like you're saying, we've come so far and yet there are men
and yet
I also find it miraculous that there are people who listen to this podcast who are straight women, and I wish there was a camera fixed on their faces listening to
this. Am I being too vulgar?
No. It's called That's a Gay Ass Podcast. What if I was like, you cannot curse?
Are you into felching?
Felching? That's let's make sure the definition is spelled out. That is where the cum is in the hole, and then a person eats it.
Yeah, or it's squirted back into someone's
mouth. All right. Jesus H. I've never felched. When's the last time you felched? How old was the guy that you felched most recently?
I don't think I've done much felching. I'm not really ass to mouth.
Yeah, I get that. Can you tell me the title of this episode that we can use the word felch in? What's a play on words for felch?
What's that Steven Spielberg biopic that just came out?
It's called...
Oh, I got one. What's that movie with Sarah Jessica Parker and Diane Keaton and Rachel McAdams called?
Felch Wives Club?
No, The Family Felch.
Oh, The Family Felch. The Felchelmans? Steven Spielberg's The Felchelmans?
Yeah, that's good. A nice Jewish family.
The Felchsteins. Wow, I was hoping the episode would go into felch wordplay. I do want to ask you the next podcast question, which is big fucking dipper. If the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Oh my gosh. This is such an intense question because it could go so many ways. I do have a sweet spot for a couple of like the Lauras in the world.
Laura Dern.
And I was, yes.
And
Laura Linney.
Laura Linney.
Yeah. Just the two of them. But I was thinking about like Cicely Tyson.
Oh,
but I
wow.
do feel like she always plays this, you know, at this point you're just sort of like, well, every time she appears, and like R.I.P.
She's,
you know
she,
I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, she fucking died at like 99 and a half, and you want her to give a tour de force.
On set.
She was on set?
No, but I mean, she was still playing movies.
I fully believe you.
She's been playing like the grandma with the sage wisdom since she was 60. She's spent 30 years playing that. I don't know that you would argue she's a character actress, but I feel like Debbie Mazar, in every film where she is the best friend with the attitude and the lisp, it's like you cannot go wrong with casting Debbie Mazar.
Okay, so Debbie Mazar to me is a character actress simply because she has a speech impediment.
Okay, amazing. Because it's like she's never going to get the role. She's always going to do like, you know, 4 days of filming on the 3 month
Debbie
commitment.
Mazar is Medusa. Sorry, Medusa. Yeah. I'm not making fun of the impediment, by the way. I love how she speaks.
When she pops up in a film, I'm like, fuck yes.
She, in a way, to me, is a cousin, artistically, of Joan Cusack.
100%.
Because I think that there's a mouth work. There's...
And the lips on Joan Cusack.
Yeah, I mean...
Have you seen the film In and Out starring Kevin Kline?
Of course I have. Kevin Kline is from St. Louis, where I am from.
That movie is wild.
Yeah, it's... Oh, wow, yeah. And Joan Cusack looks great in it, by the way.
Oh.
Wait, I googled In and Out just to get some photo references, and there's a Decider.com article that says, "Was it good for the gays? In and Out."
Who wrote that?
Written
article?
In 2014, let's go to Tyler Coates.
Their Twitter. Oh, that's a person.
That's a person.
Don't we all know that person?
He is a handsome bearded ginger who is the awards editor at The Hollywood Reporter. Shout out to Tyler.
Hi, Tyler. I think I sucked off your husband yesterday. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, that's how I recognize him.
I'm joking.
I'm sure Tyler.
But everyone's open, right? That's the deal.
Everyone is open. Everyone is awesome.
That's a Taylor Swift song, Everyone's Open.
If it's not, it should be produced by Todrick Hall.
Do you feel like she's queer? Because you've seen these rumors about Taylor Swift being queer, right?
She's not cool enough to be queer.
Okay.
Do you think she's queer?
I love a conspiracy theory. I just stumbled upon the NASA conspiracy theories where they're showing all the footage of the astronauts reporting from the space station, and they're like, there's a green screen, it's a harness, they weren't it's crazy.
You're kidding me.
These popped up on my TikTok, and I was like, I see why people fell in love with QAnon and like wanted to have their babies.
Do you think 5G has a vaccine connection? Are you one of those?
No, I don't actually think that. I just love when these conspiracy theories come together. And Taylor Swift is a celebrity that the fans love to dissect like every single moment. I don't know that I've heard a Taylor Swift song since after the one that Todrick danced in.
Right.
Look What You Made Me Gay. And,
Look
you know,
What You Made Me Gay.
But I saw this whole thing where they were like, she's dating Karlie Kloss, the model, and
okay,
like
if that was true, I would care. For me, Taylor would like
Google it, see what happens.
Taylor's?
I bet you, Taylor Swift, lesbian, Karlie
Kloss.
Did it pop up?
Taylor's was 2014. Taylor Swift denies secret lesbian romance with Karlie Kloss.
Who wrote that? Tyler Coates?
No, it was his husband. Okay, I'm such an idiot.
What?
So the article is in the Daily Mail, and I was going to tell you the name of the person who wrote it, and I was going to say mail. Oh, I think it's French. It's just the without spaces. Mail online reporter.
Mail online reporter.
Yeah, no, this is fully 2014. I will say there was in October 2022, an EV magazine by Nicole Demonique. Thank you for the French name. Is Taylor Swift bisexual? This TikToker has a wild conspiracy theory about Gaylor. God.
I saw that TikTok, and that's why I'm talking about it.
How much time
now.
Do you spend on TikTok?
About 20 minutes a day. It's They just know to send me the fucking conspiracy theories.
Well, then in 2019, Cosmopolitan, our Taylor Swift lover lyrics prove she dated Karlie Kloss.
See, it's not.
I would just rather think about Jake Gyllenhaal getting throated by a man with a beard versus if Taylor Swift maybe showed her vagina to Karlie Kloss once at a party.
I love that you said getting throated.
Thank you.
I don't ever say that. I want to start using that.
I hope you do.
But I'll say it like Debbie Mazar.
There's no S in
get
it, though.
Get throated.
Now she has an R thing.
Yeah.
Wow. I cannot tell you how glad I am that we've had a fuck-festy episode of That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And I want to make one thing clear. I try to separate the Jews, but last week we had a Jewish guest. And your episode is going to be coming out, and you're also Jewish. And I just want the listeners to know that I was canceled upon by someone who was going to separate. I was going to have a bit of a change, but that doesn't dissuade me from asking you a question I ask all Jews in this podcast. Big Dipper, did you have a bar mitzvah, and what was your theme if you did?
I had a bar mitzvah. I had no theme.
The theme was getting throated.
No, what happened was is that my mother grew up Jewish, obviously, and was sort of heavily forced into her religious education.
Right.
And quit and hated it. So that when I was growing up, they were like, let's go to the synagogue. You'll go to Sunday school, but you don't have to do Hebrew school. You don't have to do the whole rigmarole because I hated it as a kid. So I'm looking around and all my friends are having big bar and bat mitzvahs and they're having this like special moment. And I'm going like, wait, so I go to temple every week. I like go and I do the like the social and the secular portion where we like learn about stories from the Torah. But like, I'm just not learning Hebrew. That's the only thing I'm not learning. Mm. And that's what's standing in the way of me having a bar mitzvah. So I was like, give me a tutor. So I got a tutor. And
give me a tutor and a Torah stat.
Exactly. So I had my bar mitzvah in my eighth grade year instead of my seventh grade year because it took me a little while to catch up with the tutor. And because I did that, it was like the first bar mitzvah in a year that people had attended, because everyone was like so tired of them in seventh grade. Every Saturday morning you had to go to a bar mitzvah.
And the parents were less financially strapped by all the gifts they had to give, and so you probably cashed in.
I did, and I had a great party, and there was no theme. We just like literally ordered pizza and had a DJ who like got us to all do the cha-cha slide.
Of course they did. Can you tell, do you know the prayer over the wine that you can say right now? I do this to Matt all the time.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshanu Bo Mitzvot Tavitzivanu Lachadlik. Nope, that's for lighting. Borei Pri HaGafen.
Mazel tov. That was, God, that was weirdly sexier than I thought it would be, of hearing a hook come from the back of your throat.
Do you like it when I, like, my grandpa before he died, he would always do S's instead of...
Of course. Vietskadal, Vietskadash, Vietskadal.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That would always be like, that's some old country shit right there.
That's some fucking Poland ass. My grandfather, who is still on this earth at 94, does that, and I...
Get rock hard. Do you remember the first couple words of your Torah portion?
Rani akara luyala. Come on, Riff. What was yours?
That, like, full pop star. Vayakel Moshe. And you're like, done. Slay me. Put me on the bima. It's time to turn the party.
Let's do our Torah portion at the same time. Five, six.
I did all that I know.
We'll do that again. Five, six, seven, eight.
Vayakel Moshe. I hate you.
Oh, from Weekend Update, I'm Eric. I'm kidding. I don't know why. Okay, so I have to end this gosh darn recording, but before I do that, I want to ask you a question which you were not prepped on. Big Dipper, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Oh. Okay, this is tough. Obviously, they're the absolute favorites. The best one. I think we all understand that you want us all to say Sister Act 2. I fully understand that.
What makes you say that? My faces that I'm giving you?
You're like, duh. You're like actually texting me on the side.
I'm holding up a piece of paper.
You're like,
that I
joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.
Oh, happy day.
I also always think that the young woman who sings with Lauryn Hill when she is, God, what song is
His she's Eye singing? On the Sparrow.
Yeah, I'm always like, she's got an amazing voice.
She's incredible.
And then she says to her, she's like, I can't do it like you. And I'm like, yeah, you can.
It turns out you can. Well, she's also the interesting one that, like, Lauryn Hill also says, man, I can't, like,
I could sing like you.
This is just for church. Or no, now yes. I'm conflating the two. But yeah, they're both like, you're good. No, you're good. It's like, bitches, you're both good.
Incredible.
Incredible, even. I that song, His Eyes on the Sparrow, again, we are two Jews talking about a song about Jesus. But that song is, I sing because I'm happy.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
And I sing. Okay, this is problematic. But I very much like the film Karina, Karina.
Not problematic, and you are in good company. I cannot tell you a single person who has said that title in this podcast, but there have been them, and they are good people. No, that's a great one. I also need to shout out The Pagemaster. She does not get enough due as the animated book in the cartoon film The Pagemaster. Just go. We'll watch it sometime. We'll get baked and watch it sometime.
The Pagemaster.
Oh, it's so good. Macaulay Culkin is like a real human, and then he becomes a cartoon human. Oh, is it good?
I opened for his band one year at South by Southwest. That was wild.
Okay, the stories she has. And I am just a fucking huge fan, and I mean that. Where can people follow you, Big Dipper?
Well, I have a podcast that comes out twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays. It's called Sloppy Seconds. I co-host it with Meatball. So you can find that everywhere you listen to your pods, or on Fridays when we interview guests, we have those out on YouTube. So you can look that up, Sloppy Seconds Podcast. And then my social media is all Big Dipper Jelly. I have albums on Spotify and Apple Music, and I make a bunch of music videos, and they're all on YouTube.
And they're so fucking good, and I mean that with all of my gay ass heart. Thank you for coming on Big Dipper. I hope to see you soon, and let's watch The Pagemaster.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.